Obey Allah and obey His Messenger and those in authority among you. Proceedings of the Prayer Meeting, which was held as adjured by our Master and Imam, His Holiness Mirza Ghulam Ahmad alayhi salam, the Promised Messiah and Mahdi, on the 2nd of February 1900 in the Abode of Peace, Guardian. Published at Ziya-ul-Islam Press, Guardian, the Abode of Peace. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Footnote. In the name of Allah, the Gracious, the Merciful. End footnote. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihil kareem. Footnote. We praise him and invoke his blessings upon his noble messenger. End footnote. Held as adjured by His Holiness Mirza Ghulam Ahmad, the Promised Messiah alayhi salam, on the 2nd of February 1900 in the Abode of Peace, Guardian. Introduction. Before presenting the proceedings to the readers, it seems pertinent to state that the Imam of the Righteous, the proof of Allah on earth, and the Messiah of the age, His Holiness, the Chief of Guardian, Mirza Ghulam Ahmad, is truly loyal to and a well-wisher of the present government, just as he is a well-wisher of all creation. His blessed person has spelled out the rights of the subjects and those of the government as clearly as broad daylight. He has so effectively and in diverse ways impressed the favours of this kind government upon the hearts of his followers that the stain of hypocrisy with regard to this empire has been altogether washed away from the hearts of this pure Jamaat. It is this hypocrisy which is seeping through the very fibre of poor, naive, uninformed Muslims on account of their association with ignorant and bigoted mullahs. On the other hand, his followers have become as sincerely loyal and grateful to the British government as they would have been to any Islamic one. The government is not unaware of the fact that the family of His Holiness has ever remained loyal and devoted to it, and has always served it beyond their means in every difficult situation. The government officials can conclude therefrom that the family of Mirza Sahib had previously established ties of solidarity with the government, while the ancestors of His Holiness supported the government with troops and cavalry. His Holiness does his best in his own way to help it with a host of his heartfelt prayers. Every time there was a skirmish or a battle on the Afghan frontier or in Balochistan or Burma, he continued to pray. He also celebrated the Diamond Jubilee of Her Majesty the Queen of England and the Empress of India, and held a meeting wherein he prayed to God for her long life and success. Considering his lifestyle, which is strictly austere and has always been characterized by seclusion and solitude, how could he help this kind and generous government in any other way except through his prayers? On that present occasion too, as the British government is dealing with undeserved trouble from a nation which is being secretly abetted by other nations, this well-wisher of the people thought it appropriate to pray for the victory of our government. So on the 1st of February, before the members of his Jamaat, who had come from Afghanistan, Iraq, and from various places throughout India, such as Madras, Kashmir, Shahjahanpur, Jammu, Mithra, Jang, Multan, Patiala, Kapurthala, Malekotla, Ludhiana, Sharpur, Sialkot, Gujarat, Lahore, Amritsar, Gurdaspur, etc., His Holiness expressed his wish to pray on the Eid day for the victory of the British government. Upon hearing this, everyone wholeheartedly approved of it. Accordingly, at 8 a.m. on Eid day, accompanied by his followers, the Promised Messiah, may peace be upon him, made his way to a spacious ground situated to the west of Guardian, which has long since served as the Eidgah, Eid prayer site. People from surrounding villages too had gathered there by 9 a.m. Then Hazrat Mawlana Nuruddin, the peerless scholar of the age, led the Eid al-Fitr prayer. After the prayer, the Imam of the age stood up and delivered an eloquent sermon. His address was so engaging that all those present, numbering no less than 1,000, were completely spellbound. Moreover, it was very straightforward and intelligible, so much so that even the villagers, whose knowledge and understanding is somewhat superficial, were so impressed that they explained, "His Holiness speaks the truth," As the original text would reveal, this address clearly portrays the rights of Allah as well as those of worldly rulers and enlightens the public about the manifold favours of the British government on the Muslims and stresses the fact that Muslims are strictly bound by the Holy Quran to be loyal and devoted to the government. Is there anyone in the world who can thus establish with sincerity and devotion the rights of the British government from a religious perspective? It fell upon this champion to inspire true love for this government within the hearts of his followers, and to repeatedly emphasize in both writing and speech that if any of his followers were guilty of so much as the slightest duplicity towards this government, he would not be considered a member of his Jamaat, community, and would be disobedient to God and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is because our appreciation of the British government is not motivated by personal gain or selfish interest. Rather, we are enjoined by Islam to express our sincere and heartfelt loyalty in both word and deed. We hold it unlawful to indulge in hypocritical intrigues or to curry favour in order to acquire any title, property or estate. Nothing more needs to be said, as the address is given below, word for word.